Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Amy Strunk, owner and operator of Rocktown Yarn at Agora Market in downtown Harrisonburg. Amy is a lifelong fiber enthusiast. Her mom and partner in crime, Julie, taught her to knit and crochet when she was 7 years old, and her grandmother taught her to sew when she was 10. Amidst the chaos of 2020, Amy moved back to her hometown of Harrisonburg and opened her own local yarn shop. Rocktown Yarn is building a strong, inclusive community around fiber arts and crafts with their shop, classes, events, and even yarn bombing. Welcome to the show, Amy. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes, you are recording this podcast interview right at your shop and Agora Market right now, aren't you? Yes,
I am. Actually, I'm sitting in the coffee area, so it's not technically my shop, but it's in the market.
Oh, yeah. I like their coffee, too. It's really good. You drink a lot of it?
It's great. More than I should. They would disagree, but I'm very spoiled having them right across from me.
Yeah, I would be, too. I probably have to get stock in their company if I was having a shop there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I have thought about offering to buy them out, but I don't think they'd sell to me.
Oh, gosh, darn it. So you'll have to stick to the yarn, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Stick to yarn for now.
Yes, for now. You relocated to Harrisonburg. Where were you? Where did you relocate from, and what were you doing?
So the place I moved from was actually Orrville, Ohio. And I was there. I was working at the J.M. Smucker Company, so the people who make jams and jellies. I was actually a brand marketer for their dog treats department, which was fairly new to them. You know, the jams and jellies they've had since the beginning, and they recently kind of moved into dog and cat food treats, that kind of stuff. So I was up there, and I had taken my great aunt up there with me. And so we were roommates in this fun little two-bedroom apartment in Orrville, Ohio, which is, you know, population 8,000. Very cute little town, but absolutely nothing to do. So I pandemic hit, and I was like, well, this is probably a good time to come back home to, you know, my hometown, which is here. And this is also where my aunt's house was. So I was like, all right, well, we'll take you back to your house. Maybe I can clean it up a little bit. And it'll just be for like a month. No big deal. Then we'll go back to Ohio. And she said, okay. We get back, and she called her brother and was like, I'm back in Harrisonburg and I'm not leaving. So I was like, well, I should probably figure out what I'm going to do, because now I'm here forever, which was always the plan. It just, you know, the pandemic kind of made it a lot faster than I anticipated.
Totally sped up the plan.
Yes. Big time.
Yeah. Well, then how did, you know, I in your intro, you talk about learning about sewing and crocheting at such a young age. And it sounds like you did quite a few things between now and then. So how did you rediscover your love and passion for the fiber arts?
So it was really a function of being very unhappy and not feeling well and not really feeling like I wanted to leave my house ever. And it was when I was living in New Jersey, I had another job in brand management. It was very, very stressful. I had no work-life balance whatsoever. I was getting up super early in the morning, going to work, not getting home until like 8, 9 o'clock at night. And then just kind of like falling into bed. Didn't really have very many close friends, no support system up there. Sounds great, right?
Horrific.
Fabulous. I was making money hand over fist and had no time to spend it. My body was just not happy with this whole situation. I had had cancer when I was in my mid-20s. So it was like all sorts of long-term side effects were creeping up on me. And my mom had actually come up to kind of help take care of me after a very minor surgery that I had. And she was bringing me back to Harrisonburg to recover because she didn't want to have to stay in New Jersey for like any longer than she had to. So she puts me in the car, is driving me back, and she just put a hook, like a crochet hook, and a ball of yarn in my lap. I was like, just make a hat. Because I'm sure I was being very crabby. So she goes, just make a hat. And she called out the pattern to me as she drove. And I was very well medicated at the time. And I don't have a lot of like, we were listening to that Anne Roll book, the Stranger Beside, the one about Ted Bundy. So we're like listening to this like horrible serial killer book. I'm crocheting high as a kite. We get home like 5.5 hours later and I'd done like 5 hats and I'm like, I don't even remember that happening. And I don't remember half the book, but like there we were. And I just didn't stop after that. It was like, that just kind of like, it gave me something to do. And even if I wasn't feeling well, even if I wasn't feeling confident, if I didn't want to leave the house, I still had something that could make me feel a sense of accomplishment, something to keep my mind off of me and onto something else. So I started making stuff for people. For like, I had a coworker who had a baby and I made her this very not good hat and baby sweater. It was like, looking back, I'm like, ooh. And I think she saw it on her chair and was like, who gave me this terrible like hand-me-downs? Because I never heard anything from her. She never mentioned it. So, you know, at the beginning it was a little rough, but,
Some things are left better unsaid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, pretty much. It was the terrible job I had. So I don't feel that bad that it was, but, from there I started to discover the online fiber community, which is surprisingly robust. There are so many people online. They even call it the Instagram. Like it's like this whole thing where, and from there I got connected in with local yarn shops, which I'd had some exposure to, but the amounts and the resources were so different this time around for me, because it was like, oh, now I was discovering it from the perspective of somebody who was like really into it for the first time. Before it was like, you know, I kind of assumed that yarn from Michaels, yarn from Walmart, yarn from a local yarn shop, it's all kind of the same, but it's not. So this was like my introduction to what fiber actually could be, you know, and the type of skills that I could develop and the type of community that I could have. So got that kind of all figured out, started really delving into it. And then I moved to Ohio where there was like nothing. Closest yarn shop to me was an hour away at least. So,
oh my gosh.
And then I had like no real community up there when it came to, you know, fiber arts. And I attempted to start one up there at Smucker's. I taught an intro to knitting class at the local community center. I tried to have like a lunchtime knitting meetup. And of course I was always the only one who brought any sort of knitting or crochet with me. So it would just be me sitting there with like my two friends at work and they'd watch me knit. So, but I try, you know.
Yeah.
It's a valiant effort.
That's right. Yeah. And I think that the lesson there is you reconnected with the passion. So you knew you wanted to do something with it that sparked your journey to coming back here, sounds like.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, moving back to Harrisonburg, I had kind of formed this idea of I wanted to own a yarn shop. When I was still in Ohio, I was like, I'd love to be able to like create this community, especially in a place where it doesn't exist. But I kept thinking, oh, this will probably happen when I'm closer to retirement. It's not going to happen anytime soon. So I'll just kind of put the wheels in motion. And then when it makes sense to open a shop, then I will. And then the pandemic happened and I moved home. So it took me until October. So I had moved back in April and I remember there were a couple of times I had come into the Agora downtown market to get coffee and I'd be kind of looking around at the spaces and they had two open spaces at the time. And one was very small, like 400, 300 square feet. And the rent was low. And I was like, I think I'd probably sell that much yarn. Like I could probably do that. And so it kind of like, you know, planted the seed a little bit more, but honestly, it wasn't until, So August that year, I had I gone to the doctor and they were like, we found a lump, like, you know, like there's a tumor, the classic like scare. And thankfully it was just a scare, but I had a whole month where the doctor, you know, he called me and he was like, so we found a thing, we found a mass, and it was in a place where, you know, the cancer had been before. And so they sent me back to my oncologist in Charlottesville and she did like all the testing and, you know, she's telling me, she's like, yes, this is not good. So like a solid month, I was like, well, this is kind of it. I think this is like, cause you know, if you get radiation in one part of your body, they can't radiate you, which is, you know, not something I knew before like having cancer when I was younger, but like you learn, like, there's certain things they can do and they can only do it once. You get like one shot. But it's been 12 years. So this would have been a funny time for it to come back according to people who know more than me. So we did all the tests and it turns out it was just a false alarm. Not really sure what it was. It wasn't there when they did the other tests. So it was like, you're all clear. The doctor called and she was like, take a deep breath. You're fine.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had this like, well, I've been in this really crazy, like weird mind space where I was thinking, what do I do with the time I have left? Like prioritizing, saying like, what do I want to spend time on? What do I not want to spend time on? And it just kind of like hit me where it's like, I might not have until retirement. So I shouldn't take for granted that what I want to do, I can wait to do. And then I saw that space again and I was like, I'm just going to do it. And it just felt right. I was like, I didn't have any anxiety about it. I was like, I'm going to open a yarn shop. And then 6 weeks later, I had a yarn shop. It was a very wild 6 weeks. But I work really well with a deadline. So gave myself, I was originally, I you know, had come to Allie who manages the market. And I was like, I don't think about, you know, opening around the first of the year. And she's like, you got to be in by Thanksgiving. That's just like, you know, that's the retail that is like the time. You don't want to miss that time. That's like your best sales of the year. And I was like, all right, that's my deadline. So.
And you went for it.
Set things up a little. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, what was the biggest challenge to accomplish that in the 6 weeks so quickly for you?
So, you know, having the background in marketing, I wasn't, I didn't really have any concerns about that side of things. It was like, oh, I can, you know, I can manage that. That feels very comfortable to me. What worried me was managing inventory. And I made a lot of really bold choices at the beginning that were not good choices now that I look back on it.
Live and learn.
Very good. Yeah. Good learning experience. But I think for me, it was just like, well, you know, I'll just buy the stuff that I would want to buy and everybody else will want to buy it. And then, you know, taking a couple fast and loose bets on stuff that was like, oh, there's really great deal on this. Nah, not a good idea. Not necessarily a good idea. So I think that was probably, it really was the inventory that gave me the most anxiety because my parents were very helpful in all this. We had a couple family friends that were very helpful. We set up the whole space, put the yarn in. It was the night before our kind of soft opening and my mom looked at it and she's like, you don't have enough yarn. I don't know how to. Yeah. And so then of course I panic ordered more yarn, which you should never do. Don't panic order inventory. And I had forgotten that of course I had more yarn coming. It just hadn't all arrived. And so then I had too much of certain yarn, but I've got that a lot more worked out now than I did back then, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. So that's part of it. If you had to do it over again, you wouldn't panic order. Is there anything else? No. Is there anything else you would have done differently now that you can look back at it?
I mean, I hate this story, but like the biggest mistake that I made this whole year was I got so excited with, I had put out like a job ad saying, you know, we're hiring. And I hired everybody, like everybody that interviewed, because they were all great. And I love them all. And I wanted them all to work with me. And I just, my business couldn't sustain that many employees. Like, you can't hire six or whatever employees if you're a brand new business like mine, and because your labor costs are just too high. You don't want it. Cause I also didn't want to, like, you know, I wanted to try to pay as fairly as I could. And it just, yeah, that hit me real hard. I had 1 month of, like, I wasn't working in the store at all. And the labor cost had shot, like, they, it like tripled, more than tripled from what I had been paying. And then I wasn't in the store. So I felt like I was really disconnected all of a sudden between what was happening and, like, what, you know, what people were coming in. Were they happy with the selection? I was getting stuff secondhand, and that made me kind of sad, because the whole reason I opened the store is because I wanted to be there. I wanted to be around the yarn and the people who love the yarn and people who want to learn. So, that was a hard lesson, because I just got so excited. I had to cut hours, and I didn't fire anybody. I didn't let anybody go. Everybody still technically has a job, but it's just right now, just, we have very limited hours that everybody has to kind of, not fight for, but everybody has to, you know, find hours when they can. And I wish I could offer more. I'm, you know, we're getting there.
That's right. You're brand new. This is your first year, right? Yeah. Yeah. So great.
Yeah, we just celebrated a year. So,
ah, oh, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's exciting. I love that. I want to talk more about these yarns you have available. How many yarns do you have? Yes. How many yarns do you have in your shop? And what other featured items can people find there?
I have not counted the different yarns. I should know this, but for example, with there's one brand where we have two different lines of yarn, and then there's another brand where we have four totally separate lines of yarn, and that just means, you know, they're different fiber contents, different sizes, weights, that kind of thing. We've got two local suppliers, which is really exciting. One is called Simple Hill Farm. It's run by this woman named Heidi, who used to own a yarn shop in town called Rocktown Yarns, plural. And I accidentally stole her company name. I didn't find her on Google. I've apologized profusely. Yeah. And she still sells me her yarn, thankfully. So, yeah. And then we also have the Chestari, which is a mill that, they were on Churchville, and they're actually moving the mill to Swope, Virginia. So, they're pretty unique in that they're one of the only, like, one of five mills of their kind left in this country. So the fiber industry in the United States has been slowly declining over the years, because it all got shipped overseas, where it could be done more cheaply. Quality of wool especially went way down. And then there's been this resurgence in probably the past, like, 15, 20 years of people trying to revive that industry. You know, more focus on, like, small batch, heritage breed sheep, and other wool animals. Alpacas, and rabbits. So I have two Angora bunnies that are actually store mascots. So, we have fiber friends. They sometimes come into the store to visit. So it's nice that we can, you know, bring in yarn from places like Chestari and Simple Hill that are trying really hard to, like, to bring that fiber industry back in, like, a really quality way. Yes. What was the question?
Well, we're going to get to the other question, but I got to know more about the bunnies first. What are the bunnies' names?
Yeah. Shannon Hill and Louisa Ferncliff. So if you've ever driven on I-64 between Charlottesville and Richmond, it's two of the exits, like, probably 20 miles outside of Charlottesville. And I lived in Charlottesville for 9 years. So I would drive between there and Richmond to visit my sister, who lives in Richmond. And I had some friends that used to make a joke about how, like, Louisa Ferncliff was, like, the fancy cousin and Shannon Hill was the redneck cousin. Cause they just, like, they sound like real names. Yeah. They're just, like, places. So that's what their names are.
That's
Shannon
great.
And Louisa. Yeah.
Where did you find the bunnies? How long have you had them?
So I got them actually it was April, May this past year. And I actually had, there was a woman who was helping me care for my great aunt. She was kind of like an in-home caregiver, and her niece was raising the rabbits. So she had like a litter. She had five of them. And she said, hey, you know, my niece would be happy to bring them into the shop one day for like a, you know, kind of a show and tell type thing. So she brought them in and I was immediately like, I want them all. I must have these because they're so soft. They're Angoras and they're just like the floofiest, softest bunnies you'll ever, it's too much. And then, you know, when they were very tiny, you can have them sit on your lap and they're very like shy. And I was like, perfect. Aww. I'll take two. And I would have taken more if I, you know, if there hadn't been anybody there to like talk sense into me. But yeah, so I got the two, brought them home, and I've been learning all about how to raise rabbits ever since.
You've got a big heart, Amy.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, that's not it. I also have a dog that's almost 16.
Yeah.
I've got three cats and four chickens. So it's a little farmette at this point.
Yes, I would say so. Oh my gosh. What time do you have to get up to take care of all these animals?
Well, the dog sleeps later than I do.
True.
He doesn't do much of anything. The rooster starts crowing maybe around like 6-ish, but now that it stays dark, they don't really come out of the coop until it's light anyway. So they kind of just hang out until I'm up and I'm milling about, and then I'll take the dog out. One of the cats always wants to come with me, so I have to carry the one cat out while I let the chickens out. So yeah, it's a whole routine.
It's a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
And how often are the bunnies in the shop? So say if I wanted to visit the bunnies, that's why what I'm getting at here. I want to see when I can come see the bunnies.
I try to bring them for special occasions.
Okay.
I had to take a brief break on bringing them in because they, I think they had gone into heat.
Okay.
That was a learning curve for me where they, you know, just were not, especially Shannon, Louisa, she got very, very grumpy for a while there. So I had to be careful about, and they don't, you know, they're very calm, especially, you know, if people want to pet them, they just kind of hang out. You can set them on the couch and they just hang out on the couch. They don't jump off or anything like that. So they'll sit on the couch with me when I'm in the shop and I'll just like knit and they just kind of hang out. Oh man, I've lost the question. Oh, when are they coming in? So, wow. That was quite a tangent.
It's all good.
The next time will probably be, I was going to bring them for Winter Wonderfest, but I think that might be a little too much for them. So I'll probably wait till like the beginning of the year, kind of a reopening of the shop because the market closes down from January 1st to the 8th so that we can kind of clean up and do inventory. So I'll probably bring them back in that next weekend, just as like, oh, hey, we're back. Come see the bunnies.
That'll be good. Yeah, you got a nice little shop. I've seen it over there. And so there's yes, you're welcome. And there is more than yarn there. What other featured items do you have or that people can buy at your shop?
So we also have accessories and tools. So when it comes to tools, things like knitting needles, we have the straight kind. We also have the circular needles. We've got crochet hooks, both regular crochet hooks and Tunisian crochet hooks. We have a lot of stitch markers. A lot of people are like, what's a stitch marker? It's, you
I'm
know,
one of when those. You, okay.
Yeah. As soon as you start doing the type of project where you have to mark a beginning and end, or you have to know like where a sleeve starts or something like that, it'll tell you to place a marker. So that's what you use those for. Some people just use them as charms because they're really pretty. Some of them are just, they look like jewelry. Others are a little bit more utilitarian. If you hear yelling in the background, I think there's a party at Ruby's tonight and they are having more fun than I have ever heard on a Tuesday night.
Where are we? Why are we not there?
Yeah, seriously. I didn't get the invite. So we've also done some really cool collaborations with some other local makers in the community. So we've got the Rocktown Yarn and Lineage project bags. So I worked with a bag designer at Lineage, and they're using all of the, you know, classic wax canvas, leather handles, all that good stuff. And we designed a bag that it's got a square bottom, so it sits really well. So if you have your project in the bag, you sit the bag down next to you, it's not going to fall over and have your yarn roll out everywhere, which is such a pain in the bum when you're like, you know, traveling with your projects. It also has a ton of pockets. You need pockets when you're doing this kind of stuff, because you need places to put your hooks, your needles, your stitch markers, your scissors, your measuring tape, all that good stuff. And we sell all of that, by the way. We also have a beautiful new yarn bowl that actually just hit the stores this week. So that was designed by Roz O'Brien, who's a local ceramicist, and she does the hand building. She does slab ceramics. So she made us these beautiful custom yarn bowls, and some of them actually have, she uses like the textures to kind of like, sometimes she was like plants from her garden or the local parks. And this time she used a piece of knitting from somebody in the community. Like, we call it a swatch. It's just like a little square that's been knitted up. And she used that to make the design. So it's just gorgeous. And we also have some kits that we've put together. So we've got like a learn to crochet, a learn to knit. And then we've got one that's for people who are a little more advanced. Makes a really great gift for somebody. If you know somebody who loves to knit or crochet, but you're not sure what to get them, it's called the Shenandoah Valley Kit. And it comes with two skeins of the Simple Hill Farm yarn, which is the stuff that's made right here in Rockingham County. Local sheep, very happy sheep. I've met them. They are super happy sheep. hand-dyed. I love those sheep. I almost bought two of them, but then I was like, no, I don't have fences. Don't do that.
You need to watch yourself with these pets.
I can't be around. This is why I'm like, I'm not allowed to go to the SPCA, because if I do, that's how I have a three-legged cat. I can't, I'm just not allowed. So yeah, the kit also comes with a pattern that was made by somebody, like actually designed by somebody who lives in the Shenandoah Valley. One is like a famous knitwear designer, and one is going to be a famous crochet designer. He's Ken. He works in my shop, and he's going to be famous one day. Mark my words. And then we also have a candle that Flannel Firefly put together for us. So we've got our own little custom cozy cardigan scented candle. So makes a really nice gift. So we try to put together some unique stuff and work with people here so that you can find things that you're not going to find at any other shop that you go to.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you have these items available online, I saw, with a drop ship program. What's your drop ship program all about? What does that entail?
Yeah, so the drop shipping is actually a partnership with some of the larger suppliers. So there are a couple different yarn companies that they only sell through local yarn shops. And they understood that during the pandemic, it was going to be hard for people to come into shops and shop in person. But they didn't want to start selling their stuff online and then kind of cut into the local yarn shop business. So what they did is they created this program where if you want to order yarn and I don't have it in my shop, anything from those suppliers, you can get through me. And it's only like $7 shipping. So you can get whatever you want, a low shipping cost. And then my store actually gets some of the credit for that, which is nice because like technically the sales will still go through our shop, but then it ships directly to you and you don't have to worry about coming into the shop. So it's kind of a nice compromise between the, you know, the whole, like, we will never be able to compete with Amazon thing, because we won't. We'll never have the inventory that Amazon does or the internet in general. But if you still want to support a local shop, then that's a really good way to do it.
Yeah. It's like a local internet way to be an affiliate program. It sounds like, yeah, that's really great. I love that support. You can support local online even these days. We can do anything.
Yeah.
This is great.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think there's going to be some laughers out there. It may may be interested in learning how to knit and crochet at Rocktown Yard. And in fact, they can because you offer classes. What are your classes about? What do they cost and what's involved?
So we offer a learn to crochet and learn to knit. Those are both for absolute beginners. You do not need to have any experience whatsoever to take these classes. The classes themselves are free. We do recommend that you buy our kit that goes along with the class because it just makes things a little less complicated, but you don't have to. You could come with your own supplies and we'd still teach you. So the Learn to Crochet is the first Saturday of every month at 11 a.m. It's 1 hour long. We get you started on a hat pattern. Sounds intimidating, but it's not, I promise. We get you started and then you are free to go home and work on it, practice it for a while, and then come back and we'll teach you how to finish it as well. Learn to Knit is the third Saturday of every month. And all of this is on the website. I know it's a little hard to remember. And that is also, it's the same hat. Just one is using the crochet technique. The other is using knit. So yeah, same concept. You come at 11, we'll teach you how to do it. If you want to buy the kit includes all the tools that you'll need. You get to pick your yarn color and then we put a couple little surprises in there for you because it's just fun. And there's this bonus on the, it's funny. My friend, reminded me of this the other day at the bottom, on the bottom of the box. And I have this little like message. That's like, if you have a cat, you know, cats will automatically go to a box and just sit in it. It's just what they do.
Yep.
So I really wanted people to send me pictures of their cats sitting in these boxes. Like tag the shop in those pictures, and nobody's done it yet. And it's just like the biggest failure of this whole enterprise for me is that I haven't gotten any cat pictures, cats in boxes. So hopefully by putting this out to the world, like it'll start happening.
Yeah. Not the panic orders, not the hiring all the staff because they were amazing. Nope. It's the cat pictures.
No cat pictures. My biggest failure as a business owner.
All right, laughers, we're counting on you to send her some cat pictures and tag Rocktown Yarn.
Yes.
That would be great. You also have monthly meetups. What can laughers expect if they attended one of those? And do they have to know what they're doing if they went to one of those?
So we've actually, we have them weekly, but then we also have a weekday meeting. So we are meeting the first Tuesday of every month from 6:30 to 8:30, because we know, you know, the shop hours are 10 to 6 and that's kind of a hard time frame during the week for a lot of people. So that's our evening meetup. But every Saturday from 4 to 6, same thing, come to the shop, come hang out. You don't even need to crochet or knit. You can just come hang out. It's really just meant to be a time to be social, to meet other people who like to knit or crochet or who are trying to like to knit or crochet.
Or thinking about it.
Yeah, thinking about it.
Pre-contemplating.
And it's not, you know, it's not a time for formal lessons. So we're not going to, you know, be teaching you during that time, but it's a time to learn from each other. So to look at what other people are working on, ask them, you know, how did you do that? And, you know, showing off the stuff that's another thing is like, you want to show off what you've done, especially to a group of people who are going to appreciate the work that you did. Sometimes you take like a hand knit item and you show somebody who doesn't, who's never done anything like that before. You're like, I made this. And they're like, wow, that's really cool. But they don't really know. So like you bring those finished objects, we call them FOs, finished objects, bring it to one of these meetings, show it off. We're all going to like ooh and ah over it and be super excited for you. But yeah, there's no pressure. This is a very, of all people in the world, I understand social anxiety completely. It took me, I can't tell you how many times I was like, I'm going to go to the Ohio yarn shop. It's an hour away. I'm going to go to their pajama party on like a Saturday night. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. An hour, you know, before the meeting would be there. And I'd be like, I don't know anybody and I'm nervous. Don't be nervous. We are not. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to be like, ew, who is she or who is he? Like, and that's another good point. You don't have to be a certain age. You could be any gender identity you want. Just come and hang out. Like, it's all about just loving loving the idea of making and supporting other people in the community who like to craft and who like to make.
I love that. That's really great. How fun. That sounds like I want to go.
Yeah, you should.
I should. I totally should. I was checking out different things you do, and there's this thing that you do. I have never heard of it in my entire life, and that is yarn bombing. What in the world is that? And can you tell us about this giant traveling cardigan project you all are working on right now?
Yes. So it sounds very violent, but it is not. Yarn bombing is actually a form of street art that it kind of started when people, I'm a little murky on like the whole history of it. I'm not going to say I understand exactly where it originated, but from what I understand, it started when people, there was a lady, I believe in the Netherlands, I want to say. And she just started wrapping stuff in like yarn. Like, so she would wrap trees, like you give a tree a sweater. She would yarn bomb bicycles, stuff like that, where you basically, you take knit or crochet, you make, you know, whatever size you want, and you just wrap it and secure it around something. And most yarn bombing happens on like fences, trees, kind of larger objects like that. And so we did our first yarn bomb last June, and it was for Pride Month, and we did it as part of the Love Across the USA project. And we just did a very simple, like kind of a rectangle. We crocheted the letters L-O-V-E, attached those to the rectangle, and then put those around a tree. And then there are two in Denton Park, which is right next to the Agora Downtown Market. And they're still there. They're still up. The only one that bit the dust is the huge one. I made one that was like almost as tall as me. And I put it around that big tree on Court Square, like right outside the courthouse, which is probably like, you know, government property or whatever. And I was like, you know, go bold, go big. I put it up and it was gone within like 2 days. But I got a couple good pictures of it. So whatever.
So there's evidence that it did exist at some point.
It existed. Yes, it did exist. So the traveling cardigan, the idea of that is I saw this picture of this lovely couple, this man and this woman, and they are wrapped together in a huge cardigan. It's just like clownishly large. And I just started thinking like, you know, I wanted to do another yarn bombing project, but I don't want to have to necessarily force people to come to it. I want to bring it to people. So something that can travel a little bit more easily. And my first idea for making something travel was I bought this piece of fencing that I thought I was going to be able to put on like rolling casters and be able to take that places. And I have not been able to execute on that. It's just sitting in the shop with like some yarn bomb stuff on it that I did last year kind of on my own. So that's why there's fence in my shop. But this, it kind of got me onto the, okay, if it's a sweater, I can take it to places. It doesn't have to sit on something. You can actually just have people put it on and then you're like yarn bombing the people. Wanted it to be big enough that you could put, and it's, this is tricky with COVID because I don't want to like have strangers getting cuddly under it. But like what I wanted it to represent was, you know, it's been a really tough year, but a lot of us are getting to the point where, you know, we're vaccinated and we feel comfortable being around at least our friends and family. So maybe if we can remind ourselves, like wrap each other in this cardigan and be close again, and just remind ourselves that like, you know, we still have each other. We are still a community. We can get through this. Kind of just a representation of it. The funniest thing is when I was talking to TV3 about it, and I went on one of my epic rants about like touching each other, and it got real creepy. And all I could think was, please cut that out. Please don't put me on the news saying like, we just want you to touch people. Like, don't touch people without their consent. Make sure it's somebody you know and they're okay with it. And then get under the cardigan and represent community. So
got it.
Yeah. So that's the goal.
Did they cut it out or did they leave it in there?
They cut it out. Thankfully, they didn't get me. They had like 2 seconds of me talking, because that was okay. Just one of those days where I was like, what is coming out of my, I just, yeah.
What am I saying?
Very word vomiting. Yeah.
It happens to the best of us. I've been there too.
Yeah.
So you're not
some
alone.
Some more than others.
That may or may not be me too. It's all good.
Yep.
Yeah. You got some great, great things available to the laughers. You have a gift guide also on your website. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you could share with the laughers what you have available and some recommendations. Tell them a little bit more about the gift guide, if you could, please.
Yes. So we've got some suggestions for somebody who's just learning to either knit or crochet. We always recommend the intro kits, the learn to crochet, learn to knit kit, just because that's a really simple gift. And it's in a, you know, a nicely designed box. So it looks, you know, it looks giftable. We also have some nice kind of intro books. So things to get you started on or inspire you for, you know, whatever that next project is. Maybe your first project is a simple scarf or a hat, but what do you do next? So we've got some books like the Easy Crochet Dishcloths. That is a really popular book. And then we have a book on yarn bombing, which is really fun. So if you want to explore, and it's got stuff on how to like yarn bomb your clothes, your walls, all that kind of thing. So you don't necessarily have to go and, you know, trespass, deface public property like me. let's see. So for as you get a little bit more advanced, we've got some really fun stuff. We've got some really cool publications from this company called Pom Pom, and they do some really like just nice kind of sweater. And they had this one book that's like a whole capsule collection from a woman who was actually living in Charlottesville when she wrote it. She has since moved to San Francisco, but I liked that it was kind of local. I was claiming it as like, she's ours. She's local. She was in Charlottesville, but she's, you know, she's gone now.
Darn it.
But that's actually called Embody. And what that's really a really fun publication. It's very body positive. So she's got, you know, really inclusive sizing in it. And it's not just knit, it's knit. So kind of like a really like a, you know, all around kind of maker lifestyle. Of course, we've got our Shenandoah Valley kit, which is a very unique gift for the yarn lover in this area. It really celebrates our the talent of this area, which I think is nice. We've got some cool accessories. So these this thing called a maker's keep, which is basically a magnetic slap bracelet. And then it holds all of your magnetized like stitch markers, your needles, things like that. So that things aren't spilling everywhere, you know, the classic knitter problem with losing stitch markers, this totally solves that. And then we've got a Rocktown Yarn tote bag, which is a nice, fun, and a very affordable gift. So that's, if you're looking for something a little bit more economic, woo, whatever that, something a little cheaper without seeming cheap. That's what you want to go for.
Can I get them out?
Yeah, seriously. We've also, we've got a lot of stuff for people who like pop culture. So a Golden Girls crochet kit, The Office crochet kit, Frozen, Disney, Harry Potter, all that good stuff. So yeah, come in. Hold on. I've got to say goodbye real quick.
Okay, football. She's going to say goodbye real quick.
Thank you. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, that's a great segue to the next question, because that's
okay.
That was just exhibiting community right there.
Oh, yes. So there goes my community, the community that I was ignoring in the podcast.
I
promise I won't do that every week.
It's good though, because you're big on that. You're big on community, and you have ways unique to Fiber Arts that you give back. And one way is you encourage craftivism. Did I say it correct? Yeah,
you did. That is
correct. Yay me. And so what does that look like? What is craftivism?
So actually yarn bombing can be a really big part of craftivism. So craftivism, it's just a form of activism, and it incorporates your love of the fiber arts community, or just, you know, it's a way of kind of integrating something you're already doing with something you maybe want to support or show that you support. So for example, the Love Across the USA, those yarn bombs, that was all about supporting our LGBTQ plus community. And the way that we did it was through making these yarn bombs. So using a skill that I have, because sometimes it can feel like I don't really know how to help sometimes, but I want to show that I have, that I do support people, that I do feel strongly about certain issues. And the best way that I maybe can do that is just by doing it through something, you know, my craft or my art. And I like that the idea of craftivism, you don't have to be a fine artist. You don't have to be somebody who is like a quote unquote, you know, recognized artist. You don't have to. It's very approachable because you could be doing something as simple as making a purple bandana. The purple bandana was part of the original kind of craftivism push. And that had a lot to do with supporting Black lives. So, you know, little things like that, just kind of paying attention to what's going on in the world and how you can support makers that might be marginalized, how you can help show your support for people who just aren't feeling so great on any given day. So one way that my mom does it is she makes prayer shawls, and that's her way of showing love to people. So she will make, if she feels like somebody is not, you know, physically or mentally feeling all that great, if they're going through something like experiencing grief or trauma, she will knock out like an entire crocheted shawl in like 2 hours or so. She's like the fastest crocheter I've ever seen. And then she'll just give it to somebody. It's just like a nice thing where it's like, I've been thinking about you and I made this thing for you. And I want you to know that this is, you know, me showing you my support. So it goes beyond like just something to look at. Sometimes it's actually something to interact with. So I think that's really nice.
Yeah. I hadn't really ever thought about ways to do that with fiber arts before in terms of supporting people in grief and trauma and other ways, LGBTQ community. So that's a whole new area for me to have learned about. That's I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful that you're doing that. You've got 4 primary ways people can work with you. Can you share with us what those ways are?
Yes. So absolutely. So one of the biggest priorities I have for the next year is offering more classes. That's one way that I think we can help build community. And one way that I've met most of the people who I feel like are becoming part of the community is just by having a class. More than just the learn to knit, learn to crochet. You know, we've had 2 sweater classes. We did a stocking, Christmas stocking class. We've done a sock class. So if you have a skill that you'd like to teach that has anything to do with knit, crochet, weaving, rug hooking, or punch needle, or spinning, anything like that, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to work with you. If you have something like you're a hand dyer or you make something fiber related, like maybe you make mittens or hats or something like that that you'd like to sell and you want to sell it through a store, we can work with you on both either, you know, doing a consignment arrangement or we can buy wholesale from you. We love to offer stuff that's made locally. So we want to hear from you if you have something that you think fits really well with our store. Although I can't hire 1,000,000 people, I do always want to keep an eye out for people who might be interested in working for the store. So, you know, always reach out. Because, you know, you never know what needs might come up. So I always want to hear from you if you're somebody that's interested in learning more about, you know, working in this type of retail. And then the last one, I think is the most fun one, is we are always looking for models. So people who we can take pictures of with our products, because we want to make our, you know, our social media interesting. We don't want it to just be pictures of me like, you know, I love my mom, but we could probably get more faces in there than just me and my mom.
Yeah. So you can branch out a little bit.
We're not looking for like quote unquote models. We're just looking for people. So like, if you want to have fun and like play around with yarn stuff and you don't mind getting your picture taken, like, yeah, come out. We're looking for all sorts of different, you know, bodies and representations. Like, come on out. We're here for you. And this will help you build your model portfolio.
That's right.
That's how we say, like, come work with us. Any one of those things.
Those are great ways. I love it. Yeah, I think that's really great. How, as we wrap up here, how can people follow Rocktown Yarn on social, Rocktown Yarn, not yard, on social media or elsewhere to learn more about all things yarn, your classes and events?
Okay, so first of all, we've got our website, which is rocktownyarn.com. Then we've got our Instagram, our Twitter, and our TikTok. Believe it
you
or not,
you have TikTok.
Like, I don't know, 50 years too old for TikTok. I do. It's because I had a college, a young woman from JMU who was working with me the first couple of months that I was open, and she started it for me. So I would probably not have done it on my own. She got me started. Okay. So all of that is at Rocktown Yarn. So we've got that same handle that goes across. And even if you go on Facebook, our username on Facebook is Rocktown Yarn. So luckily we've been able to be very consistent. That, like with the marketing hat, that was like the only thing I cared about when I was looking for names. I was like, can I get the website? Can I get the Instagram handle? Can I get the Twitter handle? Like, of course, didn't look at, you know, whether another business had had that name at any point in time, but
it's pluralized. Yeah,
that's
though,
on
Amy.
Me. That's on me. Yeah.
It's plural. It's technically different.
Yeah.
Yours is yarn singular.
Very, very different.
We'll go with it. Well, laughers, we will put that info in the show notes for you also. And thank you, Amy. It's been such a pleasure spending time with you today. This has been really great. I'm so glad you moved back to Harrisonburg to open up your yarn shop. Thank you so much for being
on
today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a captive audience, somebody who has to listen to you tell stories.
And I think people love stories, and yours certainly was chock full and very interesting. And I think there's going to be a lot of laughers that are going to stop by Rocktown Yarn, take three. So, laughers, we invite you to think out of the box for gift giving this year and shop local at Rocktown Yarn. You can check out their website to buy a gift card and check out their upcoming classes and events, or you can stop by in person and visit them at Agora Market, which has more than half a dozen small businesses offering a wide variety of high quality goods, including handmade and fair trade items, zero waste products, vintage finds, clothing, and more. We'll be also sure to put their website and information in the show notes as well. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.